At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to Transformative Taskmaster, a podcast by fans, for fans, and about fans. This episode, TK will be speaking with Lauren Balzer, author of the article Real Person Fan Fiction and the Construction of the Unethical Fan. Together, they'll be discussing fourth wall breaks and the inherent trickiness this presents when there isn't one to begin with.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we, our little fan community, our little section of our community, found your work, and we were like, oh no, they're already talking about us. So you have written an essay, an article called Real Person Fan Fiction and the Construction of the Unethical Fan. Un is in parentheses there. So yes. Tell us about your essay. Like, what made you want to write it?
Yeah, so I am also a Taskmaster fan. Like many people, I sort of got into it during the pandemic. And I initially had watched just like a couple tasks on YouTube that got recommended to me. And then I ended up watching a couple episodes, and about 3 episodes into watching the show, I was like, there's definitely fan fiction about this. So I went to the archive, saw that there's a lot of fan fiction. I think at that point there were like 700 or 800. And I was very interested both as like a fan and sort of academically, and like how people were talking about Greg and Alex, because they're not themselves, but they're not themselves either.
Yeah.
So I sort of got into it through that space, and in looking at the sort of weird queer genre that's happening there, got really interested in how fans were sort of positioning themselves to Alex, and how that sort of weird quasi-symbiotic relationship came to exist. And yeah, that's sort of the impetus for how we got there.
Okay, nice. So you found out about the fanfic long before he actually brought it up in the show.
Oh, so long before, to the point that when it was brought up, it was like a nuclear bomb being dropped, where I was like, oh, they're doing this.
Yeah, I was the opposite, in that I had been part of fandom spaces. I knew about fanfic. I knew about RPF, but had never been in an RPF fandom. And So when Alex brought it up in series 15, I was like, I like paused the video. I was like, what? that's how I got started. I think it's definitely interesting because Greg and Alex don't take the route that most celebrities do of like just like accepting that fanfic exists, but like not really delving into it, not really, you know, shouting it out on international television. Yeah, more than once. So yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting dynamic that they have with the fans and with themselves.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I remember, because I was not super familiar with the panel show genre, I was like, is this something that all of them do? And No, it is not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Taskmaster, I think, was also one of those, like, I don't think I had ever really watched panel shows before Taskmaster. I mean, yeah. I still don't really, I mean, I know more about them at this point, but, so you had known about it for a while. And then they started bringing it up series 15, and since then have just continued to bring it up. So at what point during this process, or of like watching Taskmaster, were you sat down and thinking like, okay, I need to write about this in like an actual essay?
It is somewhat damning, I think, if I say before they even brought it up themselves. Way before series 15, I don't remember at what point I was like, I need to write about this, but it sort of piqued my interest, I think, from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But I would say probably at least like a couple, 6-7 months before they even brought it up themselves, I was sort of thinking about how fans were positioning like the realness of Greg and Alex, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So yeah. Thinking about how we're thinking about what's the real person and what's not. And then when they themselves brought it up, that's when it sort of shifted into a slightly different, more like that relationship between Alex and also Greg, but mostly Alex and fans. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've unfortunately been plagued by this for many, many years.
Yeah, that's incredible that you... I mean, I feel like a lot of people that I've talked to have been like, oh yeah, I like instantly knew that there was going to be fanfic. And I'm just sitting here like,
oh yeah,
I had no idea. So were you, have you been in other RPF fandom spaces before?
Sort of tangentially. I'll be in fandoms that are about real people, but not usually in the sort of RPF scene. I think Taskmaster was the first time where I was like, oh, there's something going on here that I'm actually like interested in as a fan, mm-hmm. Which is I think also why I ended up becoming this whole intellectual journey also. Mm-hmm. But no, it's sort of something that exists tangentially to me that I'm like, have at it. That's your cup of tea, and I'm happy for you. But this was I think probably the first time where I was like, oh, this is actually interesting to me as a fan also.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I think. When I, I have been in fandom spaces pretty much my whole life, and I wasn't in a fandom space until after Alex brought up that there's fanfic, and so then I went on AO3 and I just dove right in and started reading all of it and everything, and it's really well written, which is something that, my previous fandom struggled with a little bit, which is like personally just, you know, I don't like reading things where like a grammatical error will take me out of the story. Like I am very much that person who will point out errors in menus when we go out to eat together. I'll be like, they don't need this apostrophe here. So I'm very like aware of, you know, like spelling and grammar and all that kind of stuff. So, but reading Taskmaster fic, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like really, really good. Like this is like professional grade, you know, like writing. This is awesome. So I got really, really into it, just reading everything that I could. And then eventually you kind of pick up snippets of like in the notes sections or in the summary sections or whatever, that there's like this little fan community. And it's not like there's just one, but you know, there's like a bunch of different little fan communities. And so I tried to infiltrate them and I was successful and now I'm here. But and so yeah, and I hadn't been part of an RPF fandom in the past. And again, I was aware of it, but my thinking was always kind of like, you know, like it's not for me. You know, if people have fun doing it, go for it, I guess. But like, it feels kind of weird to like write about real humans. But then since Alex brought it up, I was like, okay. So they like this, like they think this is interesting and funny. And then like the more they bring it up, the more it's like kind of clear that they're a little bit egging it on, you know, here and there. Cause they'll just like, they're like, oh, look at these titles. And so now there's like a whole section of AO3 that's just titled what we call Alex Bait. So it's like, this would be a really good title for Alex to, you know, read out on the show or whatever. But yeah, and so I joined our little community, and I got to, you know, meet all of these writers and fan artists and all this kind of stuff. And after I joined the community, I was like, I think I could write, like, because I had been writing a lot in my previous fandom, but I was like, I feel like this feels like I can write it and not feel weird about it, like, where, you know, so, which is, I think, something that you definitely mainline in your essay about, like, how the way that Greg and Alex interact with, like, fanfic in particular, just kind of paves the way for writers to have a relationship with RPF via the Taskmaster universe that feels more, I don't want to say normal, because nothing about Taskmaster is normal.
Normative relative.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, so talk to me a little bit about like your thoughts on that in your essay specifically.
Yeah, so I use Taskmaster as the sort of case study, but I do think that it is something that is happening in other RPF fandoms, definitely less so than in Taskmaster. But within Taskmaster itself, there's sort of two things in that article that I focus on. The first thing that I sort of talk about is how fans sort of are able to perform being like an ethical RPF fan through like creating Alex's identity with him. So that's the sort of thing where, you know, you have stuff where it's like, oh, Alex is engaging with this. I'm using certain tags to like indicate that he's also sort of a fan of this. Like you were saying, like he's clearly egging it on and enjoying it in some capacity, whether it started out that way or not, I don't pretend to know. But at this point, like it's, when you bring it onto Seth Meyers, there's clearly something happening there.
When you print it out on a piece of paper, yeah, to then grab,
like clearly either you or some marketing intern is happy about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that sort of thing is something that again is also happening in other spaces, just to substantially less degrees, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's this sort of like playful thing. It's this thing that's like, oh, Alex is also kind of a fan with us. Like how much less moral are we than him, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other, which is I think what you're getting at also, is how fans are performing that ethicality through like some kind of like moral exceptionalism. Mm-hmm. So that's the sort of thing that I see often with a lot of fans who are Taskmaster fans but not Taskmaster RPF fans,
right,
who will say things like, oh, like, yeah, maybe I think this is weird, but clearly Alex is trying to egg this on. Mm. Or the kind of thing where it's like, I normally am not an RPF fan, but like Taskmaster broke me, or Taskmaster is like really adding fuel to a fire in a way that other things normally don't. Mm-hmm. And sort of positing their really weird treatment of like canon and persona in terms of Greg and Alex and all of that just insane stuff. And sort of positing it in that way. So those are sort of the two main things that I'm thinking about in that article, is how fans are paving that way to sort of interact with RPF in a way that feels less like picky or less like bad or something like mm-hmm. that. But there's definitely other things I've seen, but those are sort of the two main ones that are, I think, most common, even outside of the sort of purely RPF spheres also.
Yeah, and I definitely think there's an element of play to it between 100%. The fans and Greg and Alex, because it's one of those things where like if you throw a ball to someone and then they just drop it and walk away, you're not gonna really want to like try to throw the ball to them again, because you know that nothing's gonna happen. But if they pick the ball up and throw it back to you, like now we're interacting in a way that is fun for both of us. Mm-hmm. You know, like you might be getting something different out of what I'm getting, you know, from it, but it's still this back and forth of like, I see you, I see what you're doing, like let's play together. And I think that's definitely part of one, why there's so many fanfics. And two, like why we kind of keep doing it, because like they're actively bringing it up on the show itself, in interviews, in mm-hmm. podcasts, in, you know, the New York City Q&A, and on Seth Meyers. Like I went to the Q&A in New York, and literally like it was one of the very first things that Greg brought up on his own, I should add, Like, he, like, the, I don't remember what the question was. It might have been, can you pick up Alex, please? And he, like, physically picked him up and they sat back down. He's like, man, you guys are so weird. And he's like, you know, there's, like, a lot of fanfic about, like, and, like, no segue into fanfic at all. And we're just like, oh my gosh, like, what is happening? So yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah, I think keeping it in a realm of play is a really, like, astute way of putting it. Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, I think the metaphor of the ball is very useful because it would not be as, I think, potent were it not for the fact that they do keep bringing it up. And despite the fact that they keep occasionally making these sorts of comments, like, oh, it's weird, but clearly there's some sort of playful interaction happening here, whether they want it to be like that or not. But
yeah, and I definitely think, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I think there's been a lot of growth between their first interaction, especially with Greg, their first interactions with it between now, which is both in the sort of way that, like, originally Greg is like, I don't know where these people are getting these ideas from, to now, you know, where he'll just like spread his legs open in front of Alex on the stage in New York City and be like, oh, you're not used to this view with trousers on, are you? And it's like, you can't say stuff like that and then turn around and be like, I don't know where these people are getting these ideas from. So, like, they're clearly at a point where, like, they know about it well enough that they're just, like, really digging into it and, you know, our little corner of the internet, for the most part, really, really love it because it is really fun to see, you know, what they pick up and look at and turn around and, you know, like a ball on the ground, and then they throw it back to us and they're like, oh, you picked this ball. Okay, that's interesting. Because, you know, there are like 1,000 other balls you could have picked, but I guess
there's so many other balls, and yet we picked this one.
Yeah, exactly. So when you first found out about RPF and Taskmaster, you said you went to AO3 and you were like, wow, there's like 800 fics. Did you then just, like, start ravenously reading and devouring all these fics like I did? Because that was, like, the first thing that I just started, like, reading through, like, as many as I could. Or were you just kind of, like, taking a backseat and being like, let's see where this goes?
So I have a very useful but toxic trait, which is that when I find out about any media event, I'm immediately going to the archive and looking and seeing what people have written. So, like, Luigi Mangione currently is a project I'm working on and the fanfic that's been written about him. So I immediately was like, I need to see what people are saying about this. Mm-hmm. So I probably, within, like, the probably 2 or 3 weeks after that, read, like, some 100-odd, just because I was very interested in what people were doing, and I had it under the guise of it's academic, which it is, but I was also like, this is fascinating.
So I
definitely was like, I need to see what these people are, say these people not in a negative sense, but I need to see what these these people are writing. Just because I was like, this is baffling and I'm so curious how they're being represented and what people are finding fun to toy with. And
so when you were in the beginning stages of your essay and you were like, okay, I want to write this essay, this is what it's going to be about, what kind of research did you do for that? Like, obviously you'll have to pull from fics and interviews and, you know, like the show itself pretty much, but like, what were your like your bullet points of like a to-do list of like, I need to do this and this?
Oh, I would say I, in the very early stages, thought that I was going to talk a lot more about the, like, weird sort of Taskmaster extended universe. Mm-hmm. So I engaged a lot with things like the Horn Section podcast, the TV show, like the various books and things like that that have been put out, which is great background. They're all insane in conversation with each other, and I would recommend just engaging with that. So it sort of started out in that realm. And then I spent a lot of time sort of going through the archive itself, and looking at the sort of discourse around the fics in particular, because a lot of research and RPF tends to look at the text itself and not necessarily the sort of like notes or the tags or the comments and stuff like that. And I'm generally more interested in that regardless of the fandom. That's just where my intellectual journey takes me. So I spent a lot of time with that, and from there sort of moved to other platforms, especially Tumblr. I looked a little bit at places like Twitter just to get some like Greg and Alex content. But yeah, so I was less on the Reddit because, like you're saying, the it was more discourse about the fact that they were bringing RPF on, or people being like, whoa, people are writing RPF about Taskmaster, or like, yeah, that makes sense. So I was sort of trying to do a social media sweep, for lack of a better phrase, but ended up focusing mostly on Tumblr because that's where a lot of folks who are also writing RPF are talking about it. And then obviously on the archive itself. And then in terms of like theoretical things that I'm pulling from, a lot of queer theories sort of background there, a lot of stuff obviously with like performance and persona, and just sort of the way that all of that kind of interacts in a very odd way.
Yeah. Now there is a post on Tumblr that I think it's called the... I don't know, like, what you call posts on Tumblr, but the title of it is more or less Taskmaster Fandom, You Need to Be Studied. So was that anything that you came across in your research at all?
So it was, but what was funny was that at the time that I saw that, I'd already begun, like, working on the project, and I texted one of my friends, and I was like, oh god, I hope they mean this in earnest, because otherwise, this is going to be potentially very shocking.
Yeah.
But no, it unfortunately, I still wish it was the impetus, but it was a very funny, weird milestone in the journey.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one of the people in my little... like we call it a group chat, is the person that wrote it, and so they were like, can you ask Lauren if like she actually came across this?
I did, and I wish that that was the impetus.
Yeah,
but it did make me laugh. It brought me lots of joy.
That's good. Yeah I mean as a fandom, I mean, there are some weird fandoms out there, you know, for sure. But I feel like the Taskmaster fandom, and it's funny because at the Q&A in New York City, Alex, I forget like what this was in relation to, but Alex was saying something about Taskmaster fans, and he's like, so he referenced like the fan base, and he said, "You are." And then he left a really big pause, and I was like, Alex, please. And I thought he was going to say something like, a lot, you know, because I was like, yeah, there's... but I think what he ended up saying was unique, which, like, is true, you know?
That's a very...
Yeah. And because it might have been, I mean, my brain is like a sieve and I can never actually remember anything correctly, but I think it might have been in relation to the fact that he and Greg were gifted in New York a pair of stained glass portraits of themselves.
Oh,
which they brought out to show us, and they are gorgeous, and they are currently now hanging up in the Taskmaster house, so we might see it for series 20, maybe. I'm not really sure how.
Probably 20.
Yeah. But like, yeah, and then like, so, and then another person had done a stained glass duck and had given it to Alex, and they were like, and Greg was like, I want to be clear, these were separate people that gave us these things. Like, multiple people gave us stained glass stuff.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, but it's wild because, like, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like there is a really wide variety of types of fans in Taskmaster in particular, just because you have so many different people on Taskmaster as contestants, and everybody is gonna, you know, have their own favorites and all this kind of stuff. And so, like, I just did a recording with another guest that we're gonna have on the podcast, that Taskmaster is really inclusive of, you know, people with really any sort of diversity, you know, whether it's like queer or neurodivergence or ability, like physical ability, you know, stuff like that. So I think there are definitely a lot of, there's a lot of variety in the Taskmaster fandom that I think still continues to surprise Greg and Alex wherever they go.
I think that's, yeah, I think it very much still is continuing to surprise, which I'm like, I don't know why it is. We're going on series 19, but.
Yeah, they really should know by now. But, so.
I feel like that could be said to a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true. So while you were doing your research, was it mostly, like, pretty average, you like, was there anything that you ran into that you were like, oh, that's unusual, or that's something that I didn't expect, or was it more like, eh, this is all pretty much what I kind of thought was gonna happen?
I think the entire sort of thing feels somewhat unusual, which is kind of a cop-out answer, but I think, like I said earlier, alluded to, a lot of previous work on RPF just doesn't engage with the sort of like moral complexity that fans are engaging with. And I think that doing that sort of like wide exploration of how people are engaging with the idea of like reality or morality or any of these other sorts of topics that are like very contested in all fandom spaces, but especially so in RPF. I think for me it was expected in the sense that I knew that it was happening, but it was kind of intriguing to see, I guess, just the layers of complexity, if that sort of makes sense.
Like, yeah,
the ways that all of these different conversations are happening and they're creating this sort of very interesting communal kind of consensus, but not really consensus. I think the thing that probably stood out to me most when I was looking at stuff was just the very, the very different reactions, I guess, to being brought up by Alex, or the fear of being brought up by Alex sometimes. Mm-hmm. I talk mostly about people who are engaging playfully, but there is a very real fear, I think, for some fans of being brought up that it's still pretty playful, but it is a sort of like, there's one tag in particular that I'm thinking of where it was like the typical like Alex Horn, please don't read this.
Yeah.
And then after that was I believe like Channel 4, you can fuck off too, or something like that.
Right.
And I think especially in the context of some of the stuff that Channel 4 is trying to green light and some other stuff there, I think there's like a sort of fear there that is interesting that I wasn't necessarily expecting to find given Taskmaster's overall disposition.
Yeah.
But that sort of contention, I think, is something that is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, in our little group chat, we definitely have people that hate when when Alex brings up stuff, but I feel like probably 80% of us love it. And so the 20% that don't, for the most part, are usually like, happy for you guys, glad it didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is nice. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting, I mean, the tags are so funny because you include a bunch of the tags that you found in your essay. But you know, just stuff like Alex, like there is a tag now that's like, Alex Horn, you can read this, you know, and like all this kind of stuff.
That tag makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, doesn't matter at all because they're clearly not looking at the tags, or at least not that deeply.
They're not looking at anything but the titles.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, so it's really funny. And I think, like, I personally, I'm pretty open about my work, and I put out, like, a ton. But there are, like, a couple that I have tagged with the Alex Horn, do not read this, because I'm just like, you can read whatever you want. Like, I don't really care. But, like, this one is a little bit much. Like, it's a little much. And it's funny because I created an album. I'm a musician. And the album is called Alex Horn, Please Do Not Listen.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, because it's specifically about fanfic, like, of Taskmaster fanfic. And I was like, this would be so funny if this is what I called my album. But it's also a little terrifying because I put that out and then I did a Taskmaster fan album and then I did a Horn Section covers album. And for sure he knows about the covers album and for sure he knows about the Taskmaster album because he purchased my song called Little Alex Horn, which he did not need to do because it is available for free. And I was like, okay, well,
wait, I love that he purchased it.
Yeah. He purchased it and then he sent me an email and the email said, I'll have this at my funeral, thanks. And I was just like, what is happening?
Love that.
It was great.
Well,
yeah.
That was when I put out the week that this essay came out, was the same week that they went on Seth Meyers.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I really, it's very apt, but I was like, I really hope they don't stumble onto this, at least for like a month.
Right.
I need at least a month where they don't discover there's like academic literature written about them.
I feel like Alex would love that.
I hope that they would, but I just, it's, the idea of it's very funny to me, and I would love to know how that would go over, but.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, because I feel like sometimes there's a fine line between, like, yeah, I don't really care if you find out my stuff and like, but actually like it, like if you do bring it up, like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. So for example, I'm going to be going on the Horn Section podcast. I think maybe next month. They haven't given me a date yet, but like to do that, they need to research me, which I'm fine with, but if they come across my album that literally is titled Alex Horn, Do Not Listen. And they bring that up to me in the Horn Section podcast, I'm gonna be like, bro, you had one job, I don't know what to tell you, like, this is on you. Because it kind of goes back to something that you mentioned briefly in your essay, which is like the number one rule of RPF is don't share your RPF with the people.
Yes.
You know, which as far as I know, no one has done that. They are both going out and like actively looking for this stuff, which
yes,
is
so that's
wild.
Yeah, that to me is the part that I continue to be, I think, just most, I don't know if shocked is the right word, but especially
intrigued.
Compared to like other high pro intrigued, yeah, other high profile fandoms where like you have people at like Comic-Con or like other sorts of events being like, look at this RPF. Or things like that, which is like, that's your prerogative. I don't know why I would do that, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not here to cast moral judgment. But yeah, the fact that they just keep bringing it up of their own volition is fascinating to me.
It really is. I mean, it's, and they just keep doing it. And we're just like, you literally don't need to say anything about fan. And yet you just keep doing it. Yeah, it's wild. I mean, I personally love that they do it. I'm obsessed with the fact that they just keep bringing it up. And it's so, so funny. Anyway, so we're gonna transition to the games section of the podcast now.
Exciting.
So yes, so we are going to play what I love to call fact or fanfic. So as you know,
oh, gorgeous.
Greg and Alex both just say shit, like just unhinged, like where is this coming from? Out of the blue, just ridiculous stuff. So I'm going to give you three, I'm going to read you three Greg intros to Alex. So top of the show,
okay.
You know, Greg is doing his introduction. And you're going to tell me whether you think it was from a fic or whether it is something that Greg has actually said.
Gorgeous.
Okay, so number one. And next to me, a man who looks like a child's clumsy craft paper cut out of a person got dropped in a dustpan while the glue was still wet. It's Little Alex Horn.
I want to say that one's fanfic.
That one is fanfic.
Yes, okay.
Yes, that one is specifically... Oh, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this. This is so embarrassing. I hate this word. A reciprocation.
Reciprocity?
It's not reciprocity. It's reciprocation. But I hate that word. Anyway, it's by Elixir If I Wanna on AO3.
Gorgeous.
Man, I hate that word so much. All right. So you've gotten the first one right. Congratulations.
Yes.
All right. Number two. And next to me, a man who cries every time he watches Free Willy, and who frees his Willy every time he cries. It's little Alex Horn.
That's something he said.
You're like, I already, you're like nodding right before I finish. You're like, yep, that's definitely.
That is unfortunately something he has said.
yeah, it sure is. That one was from series 13, episode 8. Okay, last one. And next to me, a man who once hospitalized himself doing high kicks to Toxic by Britney Spears. It's little Alex Horn.
Oh, I actually don't know. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna say it's something he said, but I won't be surprised if it's not.
It was indeed something he said. Series 16, episode 8. Congratulations, you got all three right.
Yes, that's somewhat damning, I think, but yes.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So back to our regularly scheduled conversation. So in the Taskmaster universe, and we've touched briefly on this, Greg and Alex have their on-stage personas as the Taskmaster and yes. his assistant. Now, Greg and Alex are also both just dudes, like Greg Davis and Alex Horn, just regular guys. But there's this weird middle ground where it's Greg and Alex usually together, or at least interacting through some kind of medium, where they're not quite the Taskmaster and his assistant, and they're not quite just themselves, but it's something in between that they've like built this kind of characterization of themselves and their like rapport back and forth with each other and their chemistry. What would you call that?
It's a great question. I think it borrows a little bit from wrestling. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it has that sort of like wrestling relationship to persona. To me, I think in part just because of the nature of like panel shows and improv, to me, it's just a continuing of yes and that's just really kind of lost the plot in a good way, I should say. I think it's good. But I think if I remember correctly, like somebody on... Oh God, was it When I Lie to You, I think, like mm-hmm. referred to Alex as little Alex Horn at yeah. one point, and like he's referred to that in other spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we've breached containment. It's no longer on the show. So to me, it's a sort of like yes anding that has sort of left the traditional sphere in which that improv is happening. Mm-hmm. I talked briefly in the article about this, but like the fact that it's happening at like the comedy award shows or like those sorts of things or like on Twitter and like things like that where you don't need that there. To me, it's that sort of like play in a different sort of direction, mm-hmm. Whether it's for fans or for them is between them and God. But I think a continuation of yes and is what I would probably call it.
Yeah. I feel like that's sounds about right. Yeah, because you know, in New York, they came out, obviously, it's a Taskmaster event, but they didn't come out, like, in costume. So, you know, it's a little bit different, but it's also, like, somewhere in between, which is yeah. definitely interesting. So, we mentioned earlier that Taskmaster isn't really like your typical panel show in a lot of ways. But what do you think about the way that the show is almost built to have this like deeper structure than a typical panel show, and like, and how that is what drives the fandom almost?
Yeah, this is something that I have spent a lot of time thinking about, and wish I could have talked more about in the article itself. But at one point I believe it was one of the Andes, but it might have been a different producer or someone, or it could have been Alex himself. I might be misremembering, but we're referring to it in its early stages as being like a sitcom or like a soap where you have to like film it in certain ways and you have to have that overarching narrative. And that's like one of the things that I sort of pull out of like, hey, panel shows don't do that. That's not What I Lie to You doesn't do that. Mock the Week didn't do that. Like, they just don't have those overarching narratives. Like, there's bits, and fans have talked about this too. I'm thinking of a couple posts on Tumblr that I won't quote because I don't want to like out people, but fans are very aware of that also. I think for me, the narrative sort of comes from that sitcom or soap-like structure in terms of, like, the episodes one after the other and the competition series. But it also comes, I think, from the things that are, like, the Champions of Champions or, like, these other things that are sort of extra-textual to that main show. The fact that they recently put out the, like, summary of their trip in New York, and it ends with, like, Alex, like, faking an orgasm like Meg Ryan did and When Harry Met Sally. Like, that sort of thing narrativizes in a way that just doesn't happen in other panel shows. And you can only blame the format for it so much when there's that other sort of, like,
right,
narrativizing happening outside of that. Yeah.
Yeah. The day that we're recording this is just a couple days after Valentine's Day. And I don't know if you saw the Instagram post that that the official Taskmaster account put up, but, and I think they called it a bromance, and we were like, whoever edited this is not, bromance is not even close to the word that you're looking for. I mean, like, technically it is. It's only one letter off, but
strict father and son relationship.
That's true.
I'll take bromance over that.
That's true.
But yeah, I did see it. And then I exhaustedly, like, turned to my friends and was like, guys, they're doing state sanctioned yaoi, as someone referred to it on Tumblr.
Yeah.
But yeah, ridiculous. Like, they didn't need to do that, but yep, I'm happy for them that they are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that meme that's like, lads, is it gay to kiss the homies goodnight on the mouth?
Except your government sponsored channel is
the official channel is like, we hope you find the Greg to your Alex. And I'm like,
I don't know if you know what that means, but I'm happy that you're doing it.
Yeah, it's wild. So obviously we have, we've talked a little bit about, you know, how they do, like, joint stuff. Like, they, on, you know, they print out fanfics on to read out loud on Seth Meyers, which is just ridiculous. They, like, and usually, like, up until this point, it's kind of mostly been Alex name dropping fix. So now we get the turnaround of Greg is the one doing it. Greg is the one leaning over being like, I'm going to read this out loud to you. Like, give me that piece of paper. And then he's like, oh, I read these aloud to him, like, every night. And we're just like, sir, you do not. and, like, you know, and now, so now he's the one that's acting like he's like, I love this stuff. Like, this is some of the hottest stuff I've ever been involved in. Like, listen to, this is my favorite title currently, you know. We're just like, where did this man come from? Like, this man who his first reaction was genuine confusion and shock as, you know, to hearing that there was fanfic about them. And now we've grown so much and we've gotten to this point where not only is he taking the lead on Seth Meyers, but did you hear about his current whip? Or I guess it's now a tour. It's okay. Maybe you haven't heard about this. So
I've heard about it through the grapevine, but not from the source itself.
Right. Yeah. So the thing that I'm referring to is that in his whip, and now is in his tour, because he's currently touring, is that there's a bit that he does where the question is asked, like, are Greg and Alex in love or something like that? And he goes, no, but I'll be honest with you, part of me would quite like to fuck him.
I did not know where it was from, and now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And so, like, I had some friends that went to go see him on tour, and they reported back with, holy shit, guys, you'll never believe what Greg just said. And we're just like, excuse me? Like, what? Because keep in mind, this is not Greg as a taskmaster. Or the taskmaster. No. This is not Greg and Alex doing stuff together. This is not the Horn Section TV show, which Alex pulls Greg into for no reason at all. but this is just Greg on his own doing his own show. So, like, what's the... I don't want to use the word speculation, but, like, what's the speculation? You're like, why is he doing this?
Yeah, There's so many reasons that come to mind, some of which are rooted in reality and others are astronomically not. I think, to me, the sort of like not pessimistic, but the corporate, for lack of a better phrase, like sort of take on it would be like, okay, like they're clearly seeing that there's some engagement here and they're trying to maybe repair, for lack of a better word, Greg's relationship with that. Because when I was writing the article and during the editing process, there's a very different image of Greg's relation to RPF writers than I think there is now, just by the nature of academic publishing. Because early on, he's like referring to folks as like perverts or disgusting. And like when they have that Been on the Horn Section podcast where they like sing that poem, like he's like, this is insane and deranged. But is it, like you're saying, like very different from now. So I think the sort of like corporatist marketing perspective is like, okay, maybe they're like trying to be like, no, both of them are into it. The other thought that I have is like, maybe he's been on some sort of journey of like, you know what, maybe the RPF kiddos are actually okay. Like maybe there's something there. And I think maybe there's that playfulness that doesn't feel as like shocking now, because yeah. I think like you're saying, like there's that shock initially, there's that visceral sort of reaction, but I think maybe similarly to how a lot of fans of Taskmaster have gone on a sort of journey with RPF where they're like, this is weird, oh okay, maybe it's not okay, I'm just gonna like let this happen, maybe there's some sort of similar journey there of, because of the way Alex engages with it, of being like, okay, this is a facet of the show now, might as well play into it, or like might as well have fun with it.
Yeah.
Those are, I think, maybe the two most plausible to me. I don't know what other people's speculations are. I should make it clear, I don't think he does want to fuck Alex. But I think there's a playfulness there that, because their personas are sort of breaching the containment of that Taskmaster universe, I think maybe is more fun to play with than it was like 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Something that he's definitely gotten used to and like leaned into, for sure. Because the fact that he was saying all that stuff on Seth Meyers was like, honestly, just kind of refreshing to hear from him as opposed to Alex. And like on the flip side of that, usually Alex is the one bringing all this up. He looked so uncomfortable on Seth. And I was like, baby boy, it's okay. And he was like, I'm just not comfortable talking about it on American television. And I was like, bestie, I can't blame you there. Like, we're not about to get into the current politics of the country, but Jesus Christ. So it's like, yeah, I get it. But what I love is that these days, both of them are like, they will kind of still bring up the fact that like it's a little weird, but like in a good way, and they both will be adamant about being like, the writing is very good, like it's really good writing.
The thing that is fascinating to me is they're always like, yeah, let's praise the writing of this, let's be really positive about it, which is not what you do if you like, there's so many tropes that like, for instance, like the supernatural actors, I believe, or like other sorts of folks who have had RPF written about them, like fall into of like, oh, it's juvenile, it's like teenage girls, like that sort of thing. Right. But there is a legitimate respect there that I think is really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's, I mean, it's, it's just so funny because Alex in that clip is like, you know, he starts saying like horrible, horrible. And, you know, like, I think what he's trying to go for is like the stuff that Greg does to me in these fics is just like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? But he's like, but the writing is good. Like, let me be very clear. The writing is good. Like, I want to looks at the camera, gives a double thumbs up. Oh my gosh. It's just so funny. Who knows what actually is happening? But my theory is that someone on their team is in charge of finding this, because somebody's finding them. These are real fics that are out there, that they're name dropping.
It's clear that they don't have an account also, because they've underestimated how many fics there are.
Yeah, yeah. That, and I don't think that any of the fics that they've mentioned at the time of mentioning them have been locked.
No.
Yeah. So there's definitely somebody that's in charge, and I want to know who that person is so bad. Like, I want to have Greg and or Alex on this podcast, and that's going to be the first question that comes out of my mouth. Who is actually doing the reading of these?
Who's doing this?
Because I know it's not you. If it's, it's definitely, in my opinion, I don't think it's Alex. I think he has too much on his plate. Right. I think he, I think he's maybe skimmed it once or twice. He definitely is aware of it, like, obviously, but I don't think it's him that's doing it. I think he's way too busy. Now, if Greg told me it's me because I think it's hilarious, like, I would probably believe that now, but who used to do it then? Because it certainly wasn't you. I really, really want to know. It's so interesting to me.
It has to be somebody who's also connected with the Horn Section podcast, because that's where it first came up at all.
Yeah.
So, that's, I'll put my sort of, my, I shouldn't say my frogs in that bucket. I don't think that's a phrase, but I'm going to put my frogs in that bucket.
Put your frogs in that bucket.
I'm going to put my frogs in that bucket, and if I turn out to be right, that'll be great.
I think, I mean, we, you know, our little group chat has theories about who it could be. Some people are like, oh, it's probably just like some random crew member, you know, of production or whatever. Some people are like, what if it's Ed Gamble? Have you noticed that Ed Gamble has started calling it fanfic in his off menu podcast? Like, he doesn't call fan fiction anymore. He calls it fanfic. Like, only people that are like really deep into fanfic call it fan. And I'm just like, oh my God. If Ed Gamble is the one like looking up these, I'm gonna lose my mind.
That would be insane, but I would respect it.
I mean, he definitely is aware of fan, like, he's brought up,
oh, certainly.
You know, I mean, I haven't listened to many podcasts. I've listened to all of the Taskmaster one, the official one, all of the Horn Section one multiple times. And then I'm slowly working my way through off menu. And I think I have like just over 100 left to go through, which is pretty good because there's like over 200 episodes.
Yeah.
But I am listening to them like not in order. And so occasionally he'll be like, oh, it's out now, 2023. And I was like, no.
We are past that, I fear.
Yeah. But he definitely does bring it up in a few episodes that I've heard of, at least so far. Because he's like, oh, there's like fanfic of me and James. And I'm like,
yes, I've heard about that.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, at this point, am I going to be surprised by anything anymore? Not really.
No.
Oh, goodness. All right. So we're going to kind of wrap up our episode here in a minute. So what I want to ask you is if you have any particular like favorite fan work recommendations from the Taskmaster fandom. Like, do you have a favorite fan video or fanfic or work of art or anything that you just you want to like give a little shout out to? And if you don't, that's fine.
That is a great question. The answer is yes. The other answer is, as a person who's like in a dual position as academic and fan, I feel like ethically ambiguous about like plugging something. But yeah, I will say fair. Fics written before Alex brought it up on Taskmaster have a very special place in my heart, because there's sort of like a weird, I don't want to say like untainted, because that sounds like really whatever, but like there's like a certain a certain naivete perhaps in them that I think is very fun to look at in a historical sense. So I'll plug the genre.
Yeah, awesome. Yes, it's almost a like, I was writing Taskmaster fanfic before it was insert like in insert the word state cool sanctioned? But like like before it was brought up by Alex, because I was definitely a post author, a post watershed moment or whatever you want to call it of that. I definitely was not writing Taskmaster fanfic before it was cool. Which is fine, because I'm still having fun.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So on our website, once this episode comes out, I'll be sure to link your article to this episode. I'm not really sure how the website works just yet. I have multiple people working on it with me, but we'll make sure to link your article. Other than that, is there anything else you want me to plug on your end? Anything exciting going on?
You can follow me on Blue Sky. I have never properly used the platform. God knows if I ever will, but in theory, you can find out things I'm doing there.
What's your username on Blue Sky?
Oh, Christ. That's an excellent question. I think it's just Lauren Balsard at whatever the sort of string of letters is after that. Let's see. Lauren Balsard at bluesky.social. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, other than that, if people want to check out my website, they can. It's just balsarlauren.com. It's very geared toward academia, so may not be of interest. But if you ever want to read anything else I write, it probably won't be about Taskmaster, but it might be about fandom. So
nice. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was really, really nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Likewise, I'm very happy this podcast is coming into existence. I think Yay. It's going to fill a hole in the fandom space. So
thank you so much. All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
And that was TK speaking with Lauren Balsard. You can find her article as well as the fic discussed on this episode on our website, tftaskmaster.uk. You can also follow Lauren at laurenbalsard at bluesky.social or visit her site at balsarlauren.com. If you have any questions, fan work recommendations, suggestions, or anything else, you can email us at fans@tftaskmaster.uk.